The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 3. While the lame man, who was now healed, clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, and they were astounded. And Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text today is the gospel lesson, Luke 24, 36 to 49. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel lesson today is one of the great Easter stories of the New Testament. It takes place after Jesus met the two men on the road to Emmaus and after they returned to Jerusalem. According to Luke's report, it was the first time that Jesus showed himself to all the apostles. So Thomas would not have been present in this account. In the tradition of the church, this gospel is read and preached on Easter Tuesday. In this gospel, we have three topics to consider. First is the matter of ghosts or spirits. Second is the fact of Jesus' bodily presence after the resurrection. Third is Jesus' prediction that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Do you believe in ghosts or spirits? The disciples did. In verse 37, it says that when they first saw Jesus, they thought he was a ghost. They had the same reaction during his Galilean ministry. That was before he was crucified. When they saw Jesus walking on the water, and Peter then attempted to try to walk on the water too. That was Mark 6, 49 to 50. They thought he was a ghost. Well, what is a ghost? In traditional belief, a ghost is the soul or spirit of a dead person or animal that can appear in visible form or other manifestation to the living. The belief in manifestations of the spirits of the dead is widespread, dating back to animism or ancestor worship in pre-literate cultures. Certain non-Christian religious practices, such as funeral rites, exorcisms, and some practices of spiritualism and ritual magic, are specifically designed to put down or rest the spirits of the dead. What does the Bible say about ghosts or spirits? The Bible contains only a few references to them. The most notable reference is in the first book of Samuel, in which a disguised King Saul had the witch of Endor summon the ghost or spirit of Samuel. Deuteronomy 18, 9-12 teaches that it is a grievous sin to attempt to conjure or control spirits. King Saul was condemned for breaking this commandment. Some Christian denominations, such as the Roman Catholic Church, teach that ghosts are the souls of humans who linger in the interim state of purgatory before continuing their journey to heaven. They believe that on occasion God allows such souls to return to earth to warn the living of the need for repentance. So all the stories or beliefs that people may have about ghosts then is used to promote the doctrine of purgatory. As Luther keenly observed this in his sermons in the House Postles. In opposition to Rome, Martin Luther taught that ghosts or spirits were actually demons in disguise. He based this on 2 Corinthians 11:14, which states, quote, "Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." And then 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Luther gave some advice to Christians if they ever saw a ghost or thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said this, quote, "Let no one deny that the devil does manifest himself to frighten people or to mislead them or to do them harm in some underhanded way. But when he does this, make the sign of the cross on yourself, call upon God and pray. Then let the devil stamp about and bluster as long as he wants, but you will remain secure from him." End of quote. Since the disciples of Jesus had traditional understandings of ghosts, it was quite natural that when they first saw Jesus after his resurrection, they thought that he was a ghost. After all, he had died, and his burial chamber was disturbed in Easter morning. Disturbing a grave is a good way to call up ghosts. So they thought, maybe Jesus had come back to haunt them because they had abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Or maybe they needed to find his body and rebury it so that it could find peace and rest. Now, this would have been their natural thinking about what they were seeing and experiencing, at least at first. In order to lay their erroneous thinking to rest, Jesus held out his hands and his feet for them to see. Jesus said, verse 39, "Touch me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." Verse 41 says that they still disbelieved, and that meant they still thought he was a ghost. Well, what else could he have been in their mind? Then Jesus asked for something to eat. Ghosts don't need to eat, and they can't eat. Jesus then ate the broiled fish. They didn't see the fish go down into his stomach, as you might with a ghost. And sure enough, the food was gone. Jesus had a fully functioning flesh and bones body. And it was his own resurrected body, the miracle of Easter. How could this have happened? Jesus went on to explain to the disciples that this was all part of God's original plan. It was not an accident. It was revealed in various places and times by the prophets of the Old Testament. Jesus said, verse 46, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day raise from the dead." You remember? Jesus himself told them that he would suffer, die, and be raised on the third day. For example, Matthew 20, 17 to 19. Thus, Jesus' resurrection should not have been a surprise to the disciples. The last part of this gospel lesson looks forward to the future in verse 47, where Jesus said that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The theme of repentance and forgiveness is also found in our first scripture lesson, Acts 3, verse 19, where Peter pleads with the people, "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." It also appears in the epistle lesson, 1 John 3, 5. "You know that Jesus appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." This message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name is thus the essence of the New Testament gospel. Just think of all the ways that you experience repentance and forgiveness of sins. Baptism, which In this church, we do way back there, although that's where the baptismal font is anyway. Maybe you do the baptisms up here. Haven't done one yet, so I don't know. But every time you walk by that font, it reminds you of repentance, because baptism signifies repentance. And it actually gives to you the forgiveness of sins. Everybody that's washed in that font is given the forgiveness of sins. In the office of the keys, confession is the verbal testimony of repentance, and absolution by the pastor actually gives the forgiveness of sins to all who believe it, whether that's done in the general confession every Sunday or in private confession. The Lord's Supper requires that all who partake of it repent of their sins. And it actually gives the forgiveness of sins to those who partake and believe that it is Jesus' true body and blood. Repentance and forgiveness of sins are things that happen to you. They happen to you. There's something that's going on inside of you when you hear the Word of God. When you hear the law, the Spirit of God leads you to repentance. When you hear the gospel, you receive the forgiveness of sins. And so with that, receive divine comfort, consolation, and the assurance of salvation and life eternal. This is why in Protestant Christianity, thanks to Martin Luther, the relationship between law and gospel, that is God's law and the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a major topic. In Lutheran and Reformed theology, the distinction between the doctrines of the law, which demand obedience to God's eternal will, and the gospel, which promises forgiveness of sins in light of the person and work of Christ, this is critical. Law and gospel is used as a hermeneutical principle, that is, a principle of biblical interpretation. It is used as a guiding principle in sermon composition. As you've heard in many of my sermons, I will say, what is the law application? What is the gospel application? And even if the preacher doesn't do that, if he's Lutheran, he is doing it in some way. And it is also used as a primary principle for pastoral care of individuals. The pastor's always thinking when he's dealing with somebody, does this person need to hear law or gospel? As a Lutheran church that perpetuates the theology of the Lutheran Reformation, law and gospel is part of most everything we do in worship, in Bible class, in catechism class, and in all our dealings with each other and the community. This means that, at least in our church, we are fulfilling Jesus' prophecy, verse 47. That repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations. And we will continue to do that in the Lutheran Church until Jesus comes again. In Jesus' name, amen.